including the duty to maintain the confidentiality of that information.
You said duty.
I knew that was coming. I slowed down. I thought you were going to throw it in there then.
You're listening to the Help Me with HIPAA podcast, where HIPAA and humor collide to make learning fun. Your delightful hosts are Donna Grindle and David Sims. Relax. HIPAA help is on the way.
Welcome to episode 371 of the Help Me with HIPAA podcast. My name is David Sims of HIPAA for MSPs, and joining me is Donna Grindle, Cardin. Good afternoon, Donna.
Good afternoon, David.
So, a lot to go over today, a lot to cover, but I need to know, can I trust you?
I know, I was trying to come up with this. I was like, okay, should you be trusted? Should you?
I don't know. It's probably a question that people should be asking more often, but we'll get into that.
We've talked many, many times about people would be surprised to know what we know.
Yeah, yeah. So there is a change in the PriceSec Bootcamp. Let's discuss that. First off.
I'm waiting.
So what happened was...
we discussed this last week that all we did was say, hey, we're getting a lot of this problem with COVID and monkeypox and healthcare, worried about moving into the fall and surges, and that does impact us a good bit.
Yeah.
You know, because everybody wants IT to always be available.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and the people that do our work and that would be coming to our boot camp, they're usually kind of valuable people. They're usually very valuable, actually. So we asked the hotel, hey, what if we had to do this and we, you know, had to use that piece in our contract? What is our timing on that and what would our options be? And then they just canceled all the rooms.
There's your option.
and all these people got notified. So we were kind of in a position, we're going to have to talk to everybody anyway. And the hotel was then very, very kind and giving about whatever we wanted to do. So
whatever you want to do, you just can't have it on the day you wanted it now. Because we canceled it.
Yeah, you know, but they could have put it all back together. But we still had to talk to everybody.
Right.
And we already had this, and we didn't know how bad it was going to get. We didn't know if enough people were going to ask to not be able to come that were already signed up. So there was a lot of things going on. So we said, look, if we're going to have to talk to them anyway, let's just postpone, because now everybody's on board with us postponing it. So we did. We found a date. We did. By the time this episode comes out, it should all be finalized for March.
All right.
You want me to say it or not?
You go ahead.
Well, I was waiting on you the last time, and then you said me.
March 12, 13, 14, and 15. So
yes.
does this mean this is our second annual one since we moved it to another year? Can we call it our second one?
Yeah, I guess it could be the second one scheduled. Anyway.
Yeah. So, middle of March.
Yes, mid-March.
Just after the Ides.
The Ides of March are upon us. Actually, the Ides are the 15th.
Okay, then there we go. I don't know.
The Ides of March, yes. Do you even know what the Ides of March are about?
It's something to do with Shakespeare.
Okay, well, there we go.
As far as I can get.
That's it. Atu, Judas. Atu.
Atu Brute. Right.
Atu Brute. Yes, there you go.
Friends, Romans.
I was calling you German. Judas, not Brutus. But
lend me your ear. For I've come to bury Caesar, not to praise him.
See, you do know some stuff. All right. Yep. So, yes, the difference is it starts on a Sunday afternoon, which... You know, some people say works better, others I don't know, but those were the dates that, because the only other date that really seemed to work on everybody's schedules in June, and we didn't want to push it out that far.
Yeah.
So we're starting on a Sunday afternoon, And then Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, full day. So maybe that'll help some folks. I don't know, you know, but those are the dates we got. And if you are already scheduled, we'll be talking to you, working that out, transferring everything over, figuring out how all of that's going to work. And if you were waiting on different dates, now you have them.
There you go. Yeah. And you don't have to be out of the office the entire week.
Yeah, there's that.
All that good stuff. So it should be easy peasy.
Mm-hmm.
No reason why we shouldn't have 1,000 people show up.
Except we don't have room for that many. Okay, but
stand outside. We'll get a big screen TV. Put it out.
Jeez.
Yep. So that's it. So go to. Well, I don't know. You got all the information on the site? Do I need to do that?
Well, by the time this episode comes out, it'll be there.
That's the good thing about recording in advance, because you can be like, you can say what you want, and then you just know you got a few days to get it. Make it actually happen.
Yeah. So by the time you hear this, you should be able to go to priceeggbootcamp.com and sign up for or send us any kind of questions or get on the mailing list, you know, communicate with us with the new dates. And we apologize for the confusion that was created by us asking.
Don't ask questions.
Well, you know, in the end, maybe it worked out. I mean, maybe we would have had to do it anyway. I don't know. But the important thing to know is when you ask the question and you're looking to see what your options are so that you have a plan, when the decision's made for you, just go with it.
Yep.
You know? All right. A lot of people don't like making decisions. So there you go. PriceEggBootCamp.com.
Well, speaking of having a plan and making decisions, I want you to plan to share this podcast with one person this week. There you go.
That sounds like a great idea.
So do that. And if you got like 30 seconds of free time while you're, you know, surfing YouTube or any other bottomless pits of stuff, leave us a review. We appreciate it.
Mm-hmm. That'd be a great thing for you to do.
Yep. And as always, we do appreciate our donors. And if you'd like to be one of those, you can check us out at helpmewithhippa.com. There's a button there where you can donate. Help the cause.
We appreciate that.
Yep. So if you get any value at all out of this, let us know.
This gets expensive for us. At some point, we've got to stop meeting like this.
We're going to come up with another episode about we're tossing in the towel. It's all over.
Yeah, for those of you who hadn't listened to the 200th episode, we scared a lot of people. Wasn't that it? The 200th episode. Yeah. Anyway, here we go.
All right, let's get into our HIPAA Say What segment. This is a email. I know, I messed up. This is an email from Jenna. And she asked, what do you do when a patient requests for a certain individual staff member not to access their chart, but the staff member is on the provider team that the patient sees? What do you do, Donna? What do you do?
Well, that's called being stuck between a rock and a hard place. Well, first of all, you have to look and you have to say, is there technically within our systems a way for me to do what the patient's asking me to do? Like, can I block one user? Probably not, but ask the question, answer. The next piece would be, okay, we can't do it within our technical safeguards. So that only leaves me administrative safeguards in this case, which I would have to go to the patient and say, I don't have a way to, you know, like set the system so it'll know that they're coming in. But if you would like, I can go and tell them they do not have permission and the system will log it and we can monitor for it.
Mm-hmm.
Now, I don't know. how the patient would react, but you have to be honest to the patient, with the patient, of what you can and cannot do. And you want to respect their request and see what you can do to make it happen. However, there are two things you're required to do when a patient requests it. One is you are required to give them their records. That is a requirement you must do. Patient asks for their records, you must give them their records. The only other must-do thing is, you know, besides you must comply with HIPAA, but as far as a patient's concerned, is if they ask you to allow them to pay, private pay, if you will, and you work out a way that they can pay for lab tests, any kind of service you provide in their own, they're not asking you to get insurance to pay for it. They're going to pay for it out of pocket, and they don't want you to file it to insurance, then you have to do that as long as you agree on the method that they're going to pay you out of pocket. So those are the only two, like, you really, really, really must do. You must allow the patient to request an amendment, but that doesn't mean you have to actually do the amendment. You must allow them to, if you deny it, they must be able to ask for someone else to review your denial. But again, you're not required to accept an amendment, just like you're not required to accept this request. Mm-hmm. But under the, umbrella of customer service and patient privacy rights, they have every right to request it. And I would recommend that you find a way to resolve it in a manner that makes the patient feel comfortable. But if your systems can't do it, then you have no choice other than to say to the patient, the way our systems are set up, I can't stop that person from being, they're in your treatment team, and everybody on your treatment team has to have access to your records. So the question I would ask to your team would be, are you going to allow a patient to request that you remove a member from the treatment team for my account?
Mm-hmm.
Or what are you going to offer a patient that requests it better than, are you going to allow them to request it? Patients can request what they want. What are you going to do if a patient requests this? And if it's something you've never dealt with, Jenna's giving you a great opportunity to figure out that out yourself. But it's certainly something that if the patient was okay with it, that you could go to the individual and say, this patient has opted you out of their team. You have no access to their records. You can advise other people on the team, but you cannot look at the records. You cannot access the records, and we will be checking to see if you do, because it will log the access.
All right.
So,
sounds complicated.
Yeah, there's ways that you could integrate the break the glass thing where it just depends on what the patient wants. And you have to try to do your best to meet their needs and recognize there's probably a reason they're asking for it.
Mm-hmm.
So, all right.
There you go, Jenna.
Hope that helps, but I don't know.
I'm sure it does. It may bring up more questions than answers, but it helps.
Yeah, indeed.
It just depends. It's a fact-specific determination.
As always. So really and truly, what do you do is you talk to everybody and figure out what your options are to deal with the patient's request. I highly recommend not going hell to the no to the patient. That there are times where you may need to do that, but this would not be one of them. I would recommend using that.
Yeah, that's kind of what I figured the response would be. no, we can't do that. Move right along. Move right along.
Speaking of moving right along, should you be trusted, David?
It depends. It depends. So the question is, should we be questioning other people about the trust we should have in them? You know, especially in the healthcare industry, right?
Well, I mean, we always talk about the importance of trust but verify and all that kind of stuff.
Mm-hmm.
You know, if people say, can you trust us? I don't hesitate. But if people say, can I trust that doctor? I might hesitate on some of them.
Yeah.
You know, we have encountered enough of them to question that.
Yeah. And that, you know, the unfortunate part is most people, the majority, they trust their healthcare provider. They trust the hospital system. They think that they're doing a lot of things because, hey, there's federal regulations around protecting my privacy as a patient. So certainly they're all doing it because it's a federal requirement, right?
Oh, I've actually seen people say there is no need for HIPAA because healthcare people have always protected the privacy of patients. And I'm like, oh, that's so funny.
That is funny.
Because that is so not true.
It's so not true.
No. I mean, just talking about, you know, who they know and talking about it, let's just say it, you would be surprised to, if you really understood the things that we know and the things like, you know, some obscure celebrity that's a local celebrity comes in with a family member. Those records get looked at to find out information about the celebrity's family.
Mm-hmm.
Had that happen. And then you can tell that they told two people because then two more did it within a short period of time. So no, that is a false assumption that we should not be making ever. But I feel like we should be able to ask the question. Can I trust you with my information?
Mm-hmm.
Can your organization confidently say, yes, we will protect your privacy?
Yeah. My next question will be how?
That's that trust but verify, right?
Yeah.
So, you know, this came out in May of 2020, the AMA, the American Medical Association. And I don't know about you, but in May of 2020, there was a lot going on.
I can't think of a single thing, but yeah.
Yeah. It just a blur. And it would pop out on my list of things to discuss and then get lost and then come back. And so it popped up again because the AMA has published a patient survey about privacy, which made me come back to this thing they also released, which is the AMA's privacy principles that they published along with a toolkit. And now we have this survey, and when you tie them all together, it's kind of interesting. At least it was to me, and that's really what this is all about, isn't it, David?
It is always all about you.
If I don't find it interesting, I don't write the notes.
We don't talk about it.
I don't write the notes. Nobody talks about it. So we're gonna have to switch roles. Maybe we do that for a little while. Who knows? Anyway, where David starts writing the notes, who knows what we'd end up talking about?
We might talk about hardware store pole dancing. Who knows?
And the special moves. Okay, I need to not add anything to that. We need to move on. Okay, so these privacy principles that the AMA published back in 2020, they make a point. They are meant to apply to entities other than those already considered covered entities under HIPAA, because they know they're already required under regulation to protect the privacy of the patient. But they're saying that these principles take into consideration that there's data that's not considered personal, but may actually be personally identifiable data, which is identified in, you know, our PHI stuff, IP addresses, mobile phone information and tracking, you know, data includes information is what they're pointing out.
Right.
And if I can identify an individual, then I need to worry about it.
Mm.
So they add that the principles provide individuals with rights and protection from discrimination and shift the responsibility for privacy from individuals to the data holders other than HIPAA-covered entities as well. So they're just calling them entities, but I'll tell you later on, they point out that everybody really should follow the same thing. But here's the cool thing, is that third parties who access an individual's data should act as responsible stewards of that information, just as physicians promise to maintain patient confidentiality. The principles also call for robust enforcement of penalties for violation of rights to help patients develop and maintain trust in digital health tools, including the use of smartphone apps to access their own health information.
Mm.
So when I look at all of that, knowing what we know, the robust enforcement of penalties for violations doesn't take place under HIPAA. Would you say?
No.
I mean, statistical likelihood of robust enforcement of penalties? No.
Nope.
No, doesn't happen. So for all of you who have been worried about OCR penalties, statistical likelihood of you being that one, unless you are also statistical likely to be what one consider maybe a-hole. For lack of any other word at this moment.
I'm glad you found that medical term.
Yeah, I was working on it. You know, if you're not going to cooperate with them, then yeah, that's a different story. But statistical likelihood at this time, anyway, of the recording of this episode, very low, and has been always. So they do break this privacy principles. Privacy principles. PP, David.
There is PP. It's not in HIPAA.
There's still no PP in HIPAA. These are separate PPs. I find it interesting, though, how they broke it down. They said, here's the individual rights, but here's also how equity applies, what the entity's responsibility is, who does it apply to, and how it should be enforced. So there's a long list, but I plucked a few things out of each of those sections just to give you a little glimpse of what they're talking about. Individuals have the right to know exactly what data of theirs an entity is accessing, using, disclosing, and processing, and for what purpose at or before the point of collection.
Hmm.
Yeah, because we know that goes on a lot where you don't know what you don't know. And you don't learn it even sometimes until well after giving them the data. Individuals have a right to direct entities to not sell or otherwise share data about them. And we just did that whole episode about the Amazon and Meta Pixel and data being tracked, and you didn't even know it.
Yeah. Actually, a couple of my employees just got a letter from Novant.
So really?
We're sorry. We take your security seriously. But apparently, we had a pixel on our site.
So
I'm trying to get a copy of the letter to send you. But yeah, they're sending out letters to patients.
There we go. The pixels. The pixels, they will be a-coming in your mailbox.
That's true.
Or your email. So one more individual thing. Individuals should have a private right of action against entities that are subject to these requirements if the FTC and or Attorney General declines to pursue enforcement.
Hmm.
And that would be an interesting thing because so many people complain about HIPAA that, you know, I went and reported this and all they do is tell me they gave them technical advice and I have no recourse.
Right.
But you know for a fact that all they did was say, this is what the law says. The patient said you weren't doing this. And this is what the law, so a lot of those, that's the way it's always gone. This would be a big game changer.
Yep.
Now let's look at the equity and why they worry about equity and what they're talking about when they talk about privacy principles under equity. There you go, David. You read that one. You found it first. I was looking for it. See you pop up in there.
Healthcare information is one of the most personal types of information an individual can possess and generate. Regardless of, you know, how it's legally defined as sensitive, PHI under HIPAA and individuals accessing, processing, selling, and using it without the individual's best interest at heart can cause irreparable harm.
That is a statement that everyone should include.
Mm-hmm.
HIPAA, no HIPAA, doesn't matter. You need to understand that accessing, possessing, selling, or using it without their best interest at heart really can cause irreparable harm. And I have all these people wanting me to prove all the things that could go wrong. Why don't we just write a check to ransomware teams? It'll cost way less if I just pay them what they're wanting. I actually had somebody say that. It would cost less if I just paid them $25,000 or whatever and got my data back and kept going than having all of the expenses that I have to do with forensics and all of this. So basically what that approach is saying they are honest criminals.
Yep.
All right, where are we? What's next here?
The other thing about equity is that, you know, low-income individuals and other vulnerable populations don't have as many resources at their disposal to assert their privacy rights. So doing things like purchasing technology with the most advanced and up-to-date privacy and security technologies for the harmful invasion of privacy frameworks must advance policies to benefit individuals of all incomes. For example, the AMA would not support a policy where paid apps provide more privacy protections than the free apps.
And we both know that's the way it is for a lot of things.
Yep.
Oh, yeah. But, I mean, you're right. They don't have the resources available in the AMA saying, well, we can't make this something that's, we'll protect your privacy as long as you can afford it. After that, we could care less.
Mm-hmm.
All right, yep. Next is...
Yep, the law enforcement part. So the last one in equity that you've got on here, the law enforcement agencies that are requesting medical information should be given access to such information only with a court order. And if the law enforcement entity has shown by clear and convincing evidence that the information sought is necessary to a specific legitimate law enforcement inquiry, that the needs of the law enforcement authority cannot be satisfied by non-identifiable health information or by any other information, and that the need for the information outweighs the privacy interests of the individual to whom the information pertains. Any applicable legal requirements for law enforcement access to medical information imposed by federal, state, or local laws should apply in addition to this principle.
So what does that say to you, David?
That means you better have a daggum good legal reason to be asking for that information, meaning backed up by a court order.
And your need outweighs my right to privacy.
Yeah. Otherwise, you need to find the information another way.
Mm-hmm. And we know, I can assure you, that it's not just law enforcement that asks for this information. We're talking attorneys. A lot of attorneys will send it to, you know, and they'll send the scare tactics of, you have to give me this. You're required by law. Nope, I am not. So I may give it to you, but I am not required to give it to you. Okay, so then what the entities that are getting the data, the AMA says the principles they should follow. And again, these are just little snippets. They're not all of them. This is multiple pages. All entities that maintain an individual's health information should have an obligation or, quote, duty of loyalty to the individual, including the duty to maintain the confidentiality of that information.
You said duty.
I knew that was coming. I slowed down. I thought you were going to throw it in there then. But this is one of those things that I've been doing a lot in training when I work with groups, you know, the how to get their attention is to talk about, you know, this is your obligation. The patient is loaning you this information and trusting that you're going to take care of it.
Mm-hmm.
It is a bar of gold. It is their bar of gold. And they are trusting you to take care of it and not let anything happen to it. And that duty, you owe it to them because they're trusting you. It does, you know, look differently than the HIPAA law says you have to do this. They're seeing it the same way. And it's all entities, not just HIPAA entities, but all entities who have this private information should treat it with respect. But, you know, respect seems to be something that comes and goes these days. Here we go. Entities should be required to disclose to individuals what specific elements of data they collect, why, how often, for what purpose, and specifically with whom they are sharing the data. Now, that really comes into play when you talk about these health apps. You know, everybody's got the something is tracking every step you take, every breath you, you know, what every breath you make, every step you take.
Yeah, the stalker song.
For the most part, though, people don't realize, you know, they blow right by the, you know, the terms and conditions that say that stuff. To me, it's like, well, sure, we'll put that in our terms and conditions.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, and then it's buried on the 40th page.
I was going to say, yeah, page 78.
You know, and there are these tools that'll scan it and show you all the weird things in it, but it's certainly something that you can't just say, oh, hey, well, they say they're going to be nice. Yeah, so do the criminals.
They're honest criminals, though.
Yeah, they're honest criminals. You know, they always say the jail is full of innocent people.
Sometimes.
Yeah, you know, we've proven that, but that shouldn't be where we are today, right? It is, but here we're saying, you need to tell me what you're going to do with my stuff before you take my stuff. And don't bury it on page 48 to 76. Entities should be prohibited from using health data to discriminate against individuals, including creation of, quote, risk scores, which we have all heard rumors that healthcare insurance companies have done that in the past, that could hinder patients and their families from receiving health, disability or life insurance, housing, employment, or access to other social services. This is why people worry about what happens to their stuff.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, now we get to the applicability, which is where they bring it back around and basically say everybody should do this. Because privacy legislation should apply to entities that access, use, transmit, and disclose data, including HIPAA business associates, and then I'm not sure why, HIPAA business associates, with exceptions for HIPAA-covered entities given their obligations under existing HIPAA regulation. So what I think they're saying is, we should all do this, but don't conflict with HIPAA. I don't know. We believe this framework would lead to enhanced transparency around the use of business associates in healthcare, particularly now that entities not traditionally associated with healthcare are more active in the industry.
Mm-hmm.
And to me, this is a huge problem we talk about all the time, supply chain issues. You don't know how many, you know, somebody said, when does it end? Well, the tail never ends. The tail ends when there's no more PHI.
Mm-hmm.
If there's PHI, you still have the business associate tail running down through there. Get the PHI out, that's when it ends. So the point they're making here is, I mean, I don't know. How do you differentiate the HIPAA business associate requirements from the covered entity requirements versus HIPAA? And I think maybe there's a different term that should be, or some other explanation. But I wanted to bring that up because they point out that business associates, we actually believe the use of business associates in healthcare does not have enough transparency. Is they're pointing that out there.
I wonder if their use of the term HIPAA-covered entities is not, they're not talking about covered entities under HIPAA. They're talking about the hyphenated word HIPAA-covered entities. So basically, a business associate is a HIPAA-covered entity, but not a HIPAA-covered entity.
But it says HIPAA business associate.
I know, but it, why would they hyphenate the word HIPAA-covered?
I don't know.
So
it's I'm like, just saying you wouldn't say HIPAA business associates. So the AMA can clearly see that David and I need you to clarify this one statement.
I mean, it's like, okay, so you're not a covered entity or a business associate, but you're a HIPAA covered entity, which I'm already going, wait a minute, if you're HIPAA covered, you've got to be a business associate or a covered entity or a hybrid. So I don't know. Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's a little confusing.
But their point, and I included it not because I understood that beginning part, and I'm just laying it out here, that it seems a little confusing. But the point that I did want to bring up is that they are making it clear that the use of business associates in healthcare is not necessarily transparent.
Yeah, yeah.
Mm-hmm. And then another important thing that they did point out under applicability is we recognize the potential need for accommodations for small business in certain scenarios, but, and this is a big old but.
I like big butts.
And you cannot lie. Overall, privacy principles should apply to them as they do to larger businesses. For example, an entity with fewer than 10 employees may not need a full-time privacy officer, but must still be able to satisfy responses to individuals with questions about the entity's data practices.
Okay.
So most of the groups we work with do not have a full-time privacy officer.
Mm-hmm.
And just as they're saying here, even if you don't have a full-time privacy officer and you're a small business, the overall privacy principles still apply.
Yep.
And then the last little bit on enforcement here, individuals should not be responsible for the cost of enforcement unless they are exercising their private right of action under the other thing that they said where no one else is going to enforce it. And then the final little thing here, federal privacy legislation should serve as a federal floor, not a ceiling.
Which is exactly what they say about the privacy rule and the security rule under HIPAA. It's written in black and white. It's the federal floor for privacy.
Federal privacy legislation should serve as a floor, not a ceiling.
Yep.
Yes.
That's true. Which means for all you out there who's like, I'm top notch, dude, I'm following HIPAA. No, you're not.
You know, we can only say it so many ways, but look, the AMA agrees with us.
Yep.
Along with many others.
Yep.
So kind of go with that. But in addition to this principles list, they did also come out with an app developer's toolkit, which they bill it as a case study, a case for privacy by design in app development. If you were involved in developing internal apps, even, and I know a lot of people do this, and they develop apps on top of SharePoint and a variety of other tools, you should read this guide. Because I go in on these homegrown apps, and I start asking questions, and who knows the answer? Can anybody answer that? Who wrote this part? Nobody? Anyone? Bueller? Right? So it's important that the information being captured is being protected, and there's plenty of, let's just say, points that they make, and they got this great little checklist that takes you through all of the privacy principles and helps you consider some of these things. And they also add, patients will seek advice, will be seeking advice and recommendations from their physicians for apps to house their electronic medical records. A recent Pew survey showed that 90% of respondents preferred apps that are pre-approved by their physician.
Wow. Yeah.
So should you be trusted with that recommendation when you haven't even looked into their privacy and security practices? That's the one that I am seeing that happen, where the doctors, we find out they're recommending things, but nobody's looked into them.
Oh, yeah. I see people shift technology providers all the time, and not necessarily IT, just any kind of technology. They shift for various reasons. Usually it's cost. I'm like, well, have you done your homework on this new place you're shifting to? I understand you're saving $5 a month, but I mean, you know, what does their privacy look like? What does their security program look like? What does their compliance look like? And they're like, we're saving $5 a month.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it could put you out of business, but hey.
Yeah.
You know, what is that? Is the penny, save a penny, lose a dollar?
Stepping over a dollar to save a dime?
Yeah, there you go. That'll work. That's not the one I was looking for, but we'll take it. So how all of this ties together to bring us back to where I promised we would go is that they did release this survey, and survey says, ding, 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 ding. Mm-hmm. People expect their health information to be kept private by their physicians. No.
And they needed the survey for that?
Well, you know, more and more people tell me, well, the patients don't care.
Yeah, yeah. You
know, or the patients know more than, here's the takeaways from this that'll tie it all back together here. More than 92% of people believe privacy is a right and their health data should not be available for purchase by corporations or other individuals.
Mm-hmm.
Yes. So everybody that thinks that privacy doesn't matter, they just released this survey in July of 2022. And there's like 1,000 people they interviewed, I think. So 92% of 1,000, that's a good number to say, yeah, I'm going to go with yeah.
Yeah, I'm just questioning the 8% that said they didn't care.
Uh-huh. Again, it's probably young people that haven't had anything exposed yet. You know, they don't go to the doctor that often. You remember when we were young, we didn't go to the doctor that often, David. Except when we hurt something, and most people put it on the internet now anyway when that happens. Look what I did. I said, hold my beer. So, but the fact that more than 92% believe privacy is a right, that is hugely important. But then we also know people are unclear about the rules that protect their privacy, and they have concerns all about what's happening. And nearly 75% of people are concerned about protecting the privacy of their health data.
I wish 75% of providers were concerned about protecting privacy.
One would think. And so many of them are like, we do the best.
Well, yeah.
Did you know this over here just happened?
Yeah. I mean, based on our recent podcast on, you know, the Meta Pixel, I wonder how many people said, let's look into that. Are we using that? If so, what does that mean for us?
Mm-hmm. I concur. So the then question became, you know, we know people don't understand it. We've learned that pretty clearly about, first of all, HIPAA does not always apply to things.
Mm-hmm.
And plenty of people come out and talk about how they know everything about it, when they've had the same basic training course that everybody else had for the last 10 years. And it's impossible for us to know everything about it. Yet, if I worked for 10 years at a hospital and went through training every single, then I know everything about it. Anyway, we know that HIPAA applies to, it's really quite a narrow group when you compare it to all the people that have what should be protected health information. The amount of data that's out there versus, or the amount of groups that have the data versus those where HIPAA actually applies is very small, I would say. You?
Yep.
Well, thanks for that input, David.
Yeah. Well, I mean, go back to Meta again, or any other social media platform where you're giving them all this information about yourself. They don't have to, follow anything about compliance, HIPAA, and anything like that.
Mm-hmm. The random apps that everybody's got. Well, I've got this app with this and this app. I got five different things tracking my steps. You also have five different things tracking your location.
Yeah, among other things.
Be very, very narrow with what you allow to have access to location and those. I love the new Apple feature that pops up and says such and such is using your location. What the what? Yeah, I have a set of keys that I use in Key West that has an Apple tag on it because I don't carry them with me all the time.
Mm-hmm.
And some friends of mine took my set of keys when we were down there, and all of a sudden their iPhone popped up and said, there's an AirTag following you. I forgot I'd given it to them, and they're carrying it with them, but it's not theirs. And surely this is Donna's fault when something like that pops up. They were right. Don't worry about that. That's just me.
We should go in there and like change it, change the name from AirTag to something else.
Well, you do get to give it a name, but yes. Yeah. There you go. Mine does have names.
That's what I put, like, there's an alien following you. Look up.
Yeah, NSA 2.
There you go. NSA.
Where's one? Where's one? Anyway, we know, we haven't had a chance to really share specifically. We've alluded to this, but now is a perfect time for me to say this is how little people truly understand. Now, the good news is HIPAA was spelled properly in this question. And there are plenty of people in healthcare that wouldn't spell it properly in asking this question, but they've been to 10 years of training. Hi, I am launching a smoothie app using the ingredients in your fridge, which leads to better health. The only customer information I'm storing is their name, surname, Twitter, or Facebook details. Do I require HIPAA compliance? Well, no. And reaching out to us seems to be, help me with HIPAA. The general public now thinks this is where you go for HIPAA questions. But it will tell you clearly that patients are most comfortable with their physicians, and then secondly, hospitals and health systems having their data. And here's what's surprising. Least comfortable with social media sites, employers, and big tech companies having their health data.
Hmm.
I mean, we know that social media is a gaping hole of privacy failure.
Well, we're talking about health data, but I don't feel comfortable with them having any of my data, health or otherwise.
Exactly. And, when you say they're least comfortable with having their health data with social media and the big tech companies and stuff, if they really understood, so 71.2% say they're least comfortable with social media. I'm telling you, that's where you should be the least comfortable. Employers having your health data, small business is one thing. Big business, there are so many layers of stuff all over the place. But social media, big tech, yeah, they're just looking for ways to sell it.
Mm-hmm.
How can we repurpose this and sell it? How can we make money on this? That's what their job is. Profit. Okay, so the way we get folks to understand that patients really do care about this, you know, I always try, just like I talked about, of they're loaning you the data, blah, blah, blah. But we also know that we get told patients don't really care. The survey is no different in any of the other places. Over one half of surveyed patients stated they are very or extremely concerned about negative repercussions related to insurance coverage, employment, opportunities for healthcare that result from access to their health data. It just makes no sense to claim that they don't care the minute they start to understand.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, 94% of patients state that companies that collect, store, analyze, or use health data should be held accountable by the law. Yep. 94%.
I agree.
94%. That's more than the 92% believe that privacy is right in the first place.
So I don't care what you do with my data, but you ought to be held responsible for it when you mess up.
Yeah, that 2% is where I really want to know that delta.
Yeah. Yeah, no kidding.
So again, I ask you, should you be trusted?
Hmm.
And then, David, I brought it because the way the AMA, the last paragraph in that survey discussion brought it all back together, and I figure you could close out with that for us.
Strong regulations are needed to support patients' rights to data privacy and restore trust in data exchange that facilitates accessible, equitable, and personalized care. The AMA continues to advocate for near-term app transparency requirements, including app privacy attestations collected by EHRs that will increase transparency and bolster individuals' choice in which apps to use. Yep. I agree. Mm-hmm. There should be some strong regulations.
Well, or if you just throw them all out and start over, that gap, everything's going to be solved.
Yeah.
Really, we should just throw them all out and start over. Well, from throwing them out to starting over, it'll all be sold.
Yeah, and you and I both know the starting over means, you know, another decade.
Oh, yeah, we see how this goes, folks.
I mean, it would be a few years. I, you know, with some of the things that Don and I are involved in, the amount of time we spend on something, when it gets produced, you look at it and you go, it took how long to do this?
And then after all of that, you find a typo.
Yeah. Yeah, you have 14 people looking at it and nobody saw the typo.
Right. It'll be there's a comma instead of a period at the end of the
yeah,
sentence.
But it takes a long time for these things to go through the different eyes and iterations and groups and sending it back to group one who looks at it and sends it to group two, and then three, then four, then back to one. I mean, it's just over and over again. Of course, when they're done with it, it's a, you know, good product. But man, does it take a long time.
Well, and sometimes there's stuff that, as a group, not everybody agrees should be in there.
Mm-hmm.
And somebody has to make the decision what goes in there and what doesn't.
Yep. Yeah, because if you got 30 people, you've got 30 opinions sometimes.
And we know about opinions.
Or usually it's 29 people agree and there's one person that has an opinion. But anyway. We're done with this. That's our show for today, folks. Thanks for listening. And remember, if you can't be trusted, you should be busted. And HIPAA is not about compliance, but it's about patient care.
You've been listening to the Help Me with HIPAA podcast, hosted by Donna Grendel and David Sims, the show created to help you with HIPAA. For more information or to ask us a question, visit our website at helpmewithhipaa.com. Neither Donna Grendel or David Sims are attorneys, and they do not offer binding legal advice concerning regulatory compliance. The information in this podcast should not be relied upon or construed as legal advice in any way. Consult your attorney for legal advice concerning compliance with HIPAA regulations.